Good morning, everyone. I am Tianying, and today I'm going to present our work on early detection of configuration errors to reduce failure damage. And this is a collaboration of UC San Diego, University of Chicago, and NetApp. So I know this session is about troubleshooting, and perhaps everyone is more focused on bugs. But this paper is not about bugs. It is about configuration errors. Basically, those bad values inside the configuration files that are introduced by the systems administrators who are managing the systems. So just to be clear, there's actually nothing wrong inside our code, all right? So when the systems use bad configuration values, the code does report errors. For example, by throwing exceptions, returning error code, in extreme cases, crashing with core dumps. So from the correctness point of view, such error reporting is absolutely correct. However, correct does not mean timely. And oftentimes, configuration errors are not reported timely. It's often reported too late. So let me give you an example. So suppose we have a very, very important system which requires high availability. And of course, such system has carefully implemented error handling code. And in this example, the error handling code will call the tech support center so that on-call engineers will get notified immediately to start investigating and, you know, fixing the problems. And the error handling procedure basically forks a process to execute a dial program to make the emergency calls, right? And the dial program is specified by a configuration parameter supposed to set in some configuration files. But what if this configuration parameter is incorrect? For example, due to misspelling, so the value actually points to some non-existent files, or the dial program has wrong permission, so the code cannot actually access the program binary. In either case, the exact code will fail with corresponding errors being reported. And note that this piece of code is doing error handling, which means when it is being executed, the system is failing like this. And our customers are typically seeing something like this. Right, and I believe all the error pages will claim that, you know, they are working to fix the problems and the service will be up and running shortly. But this is not likely to happen in this example because on-call engineers will never get any calls due to the misconfiguration of the dial program. A very, very sad story. On the other hand, if you look at the error reporting itself, it is not bad, right? It says, I'm sorry, it's friendly, and it includes error number, so the troubleshooting should be easy. But it is really too late to apologize since all the subsequent recovery falls into this piece of code and the business model is broken. So in fact, if the system can report exactly the same error much, much early, for example, during its initialization, the sysadmins can fix the problem, fix the configuration errors ahead of time and let the emergency calls go through. So essentially, from the management perspective, systems execution has stages. And typically, sysadmins first configure and initialize the system, and if everything looks fine during their observation period, they will roll out the configurations to hundreds or even thousands of nodes. And then they start to serving their customers in production. And the initialization and the rollout process can take days or even weeks. Certainly, from time to time, systems need to handle all kinds of errors, such as hardware failures and software bugs. But not all stages are created equal. In terms of the damage caused by configuration error manifestation. So configuration errors exposed at initialization has almost no damage because administrators are still observing so they can fix the errors immediately. But errors manifested in production have much bigger impact, such as revenue loss. And the worst case is when the system has to handle some errors, for example, node failures, and start some fault tolerance code, but find the fault tolerance code is misconfigured. Such double errors are catastrophic and can often turn down the entire service. And in fact, many of the real-world catastrophic outages were exactly caused by misconfigurations of fault tolerance features, such as failover, backup services, and data protection. So if I were a sysadmin, I would make a wish that all the configuration errors can be exposed at initialization so that I can fix them ahead of time to prevent the failure damage. Unfortunately, in reality, it is really difficult for sysadmins to test out those latent configuration errors that only manifest in late stages, especially during features like failure handling and, you know, fault tolerance, because this requires reasoning about all possible error and fault conditions and being able to inject the precise errors for testing. But this is overwhelming to our administrators. Essentially, they're not the developers who write the code that use all the configuration values, so they don't have the insights on how and when the configurations are used inside the code. So in this work, we make the following contributions. First, we propose a perspective of checking configurations early and to detect the errors timely to prevent failure damage. And second, we present a study on the configuration checking practices in real-world software systems. And I'm going to show you the deficiency of systems' built-in configuration checks and the prevalent threats of latent configuration errors. And last, but not the least, we present pCheck as tooling support for developers, which can automatically generate configuration checking code to help the systems detect configuration errors early. And I will share with you how to make the checking effective, safe, and efficient. So let's first take a look at how terribly do our systems check their configurations. We actually studied the configuration parameters of Rust features in 6 mature and widely used software systems. So the Rust features are basically those related to the system's reliability, availability, and serviceability. Typically, you know, error handling, fault tolerance, and failure recovery. So we target on those features because, first of all, they are mission critical. So errors inside these features could be catastrophic. And also, conceptually, these Rust parameters are not really needed for initialization, right? Because these Rust parameters are used for code that's dealing with failures and errors. And indeed, we find many of the studied parameters are not used at all during initialization. So without early and carefully checking, the errors in these parameters could become latent and catastrophic. So unfortunately, we also observe that 14% to 93% of the studied parameters do not have any special checking code at initialization, and the system completely relies on the usage code for checking and reporting errors. And as a result, 5% to 39% of the Rust configuration parameters are subject to latent errors, which are basically ticking time bombs in the systems. So detecting latent configuration errors would require separate checking code at system's initialization phase. And of course, the best solution is to ask developers to write the code for every configuration parameter. But you know, developers are really busy, and we really should not put more pressure on them so that they can focus on building new exciting features. Well, actually, the more you ask them to do, the less likely they will do it. So when we step back and think about how to, you know, write this piece of code, we realize that systems already have checking logic implied by the usage of configuration values. The only problem is that the usage code often comes late, especially when the code is used for features like error handling and fault tolerance. So the question is really, can we leverage the usage implied checking to detect configuration errors early? And more specifically, why not we just copy and paste the code that uses configuration values from the later stage into the initialization stage, so that the errors that are supposed to be manifest late can be exposed much, much early, and all the failure damage can be prevented. So let me demonstrate this idea. So using the examples we have already discussed, so in this error handling procedure, the code actually uses the configuration value is this exact code, right? So let's copy this piece of code and paste it into the system's initialization function. Let's put it after all the configurations are loaded into corresponding variables so that we are sure that, you know, the dial program here actually stores the program, sorry, the configuration value specified in the file. And now we can expect all the misconfiguration of the dial programs to be exposed at initialization. Unfortunately, such a simple copy-paste code does not work. First of all, executing code needs context. And in this example, the code actually does not have a self-contained context because the args variable is undefined. So basically, we are not able to directly execute this piece of code. Moreover, even we have some black magic to execute the code, you know, execution can have side effects. We don't want the checking code to make any calls to the tech support center, especially when the configuration is correct. As you guys know, prank calls are crimes in the US. And even from the technical aspect, you cannot ask the programs to execute this piece of code, because the exec call actually will remove the current process image. So if you use this code for a checking code, then your original program will be removed. We have to solve these problems. So first, to produce the necessary context, we backtrack the data flow of the undefined variables in the original program, trying to determine their values. And in this example, the args variable is actually just defined before the exec call, so we can include the dependent instruction to form a self-contained context. And now we are able to execute this piece of code. But I have to mention that in practice, we do this with best effort, because sometimes we are not able to produce the necessary context, especially when the variables have some dependency with runtime state or user inputs. But in our experience, configurations often have relatively independent and simple contexts. So in many, many cases, we can produce the necessary context for checking. So to prevent side effects, we sandbox the checking code by rewriting the instructions that may have side effects based on check utilities that validate the operands of these instructions without executing the instruction. So in this example, since exec is a standard libc call, so we do have corresponding check utils. So instead of calling the original call, we call this check util instead, which can validate the value of the dial program without any side effects. Now we have a piece of checking code which can capture all the misconfigurations of the dial program effectively and safely. So we actually implement all these ideas into a tool called pcheck, which works for both C and Java programs based on LLVM and the Suite compiler frameworks. And pcheck takes the original program source code and the specifications of configuration APIs as inputs. And it performs a series static program analysis to generate the configuration checking code, termed as checkers here. And the configuration APIs are needed because pcheck needs to identify the program variables that store the configuration value as a starting point. And then it extracts the instructions that load the value, propagate the value, transfer the value, use the value. And then it tries to produce the necessary context if the instructions contain some undefined variables. And then it tries to rewrite some of the instructions that may have side effects. Lastly, it inserts some code that can capture the runtime anomalies as evidence for reporting configuration errors. And actually, our tool has no assumption on any of the configuration parameters. Whether they are latent or not, we just try to generate the checking code for every configuration parameter. And to enforce the early detection, pcheck helps insert and invoke the checking code in program's bytecode or bytecode specified by the developers. Basically, some like typically one line of annotation so that we can automatically insert the code into the original program. So we evaluate our approach on 58 real-world latent configuration errors, including some new errors discovered in our study and the historical errors that caused failures in the past. And the results are pretty promising. In general, we can detect more than 70% of the real-world latent configuration errors in both the historical error data set and the new error data set. And actually, our approach is very generic. We do this for any types of configurations, because what we do is faithfully executing the code that will use the configurations late, trying to expose the errors early. But in case you are interested in which type of errors we can and cannot detect, I categorize the errors based on their types here. And we can see for errors with relatively independent context, such as type and format errors and invalid options and ranges, we can detect all of them. And for more complicated errors, such as all kinds of incorrect files and directories and miscellaneous errors, we don't know how to even categorize them, our tool can still detect the majority of them. Unfortunately, there are still around 20 to 30% of the errors that are missed by our tool. The reasons are basically the following two. First, sometimes we cannot generate the checking code, as I mentioned, due to the failure of producing the necessary execution context, especially when the values have some dependency with runtime requests. And also, sometimes we do generate a checking code, but we cannot safely execute the code, mainly caused by unknown side effects. And when I was proposing the idea, I guess Some of you have already started thinking of some errors we cannot deal with, and let's make it explicit. First, we cannot deal with configuration errors that can only manifest it via a long running time, since we cannot run the checks for too long. And examples include resource and performance-related misconfigurations. You guys know that resources are typically not exhausted in a short run. And also, we currently report errors based on kind of obvious anomalies, such as exceptions, error code, and abnormal termination. For semantic errors, for example, you back up your data to the wrong files, our tool cannot automatically judge whether the behavior is desired or not, even though perhaps we do, you know, expose the error by executing the code. So the auto-generated checking code is actually pretty efficient. Running the code takes less than 1 second for the Java programs we evaluated, and less than 100 milliseconds for the C programs we evaluated. And the false positives are also small. We actually tested with the default values of all the configuration parameters, as well as the real-world settings collected from more than 800 configuration files. And we only observe 3 configuration parameters with false alarms reported. Well, to conclude, I hope I have convinced you that we should treat configuration errors like fatal diseases, for which we all understand the best protection is early detection. And I have presented a P-check for automatically generating and invoking configuration checking code to enforce early detection. And no matter whether you want to use our tool, you should check your configurations early, simply because the damage of misconfigurations could be very, very severe. And thank you very much. I would like to take questions.
Thank you. Questions for Qianyi. How about this side first?
Okay, only from Seoul National University. So actually, there could be some, so you're using the original, some executing code to detect the failures, but so I just thought that it's also possible that there could be some silent errors, right? That, so actually there was some wrong value, was input for memory, hidden memory size or something like that. And actually the program just due to its, so failed to parse the value and just to, just put the default value into it. And I think that that's not what programmers wanted. So how can you find those kind of silent errors, which is not intentional, but just cannot find it? So the intentional, but does not generate any error messages?
OK, so the question is, like, how can we detect the silent errors, which is not like actually manifested via like runtime execution normalized, right? Is that your question?
Yes, right.
Okay, so exactly as you said, like we kind of trying to determine whether it is a configuration error based on whether when you use the error, when you use a configuration value, whether the execution can have anomalies. So if it cannot, for example, as I said, like for semantic errors, you back up, you know, data to the wrong files, or you use some errors, use some configurations, but it did not, like, you know, expose anything, it's really hard for our automatic tools to judge whether it is correct or not.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, and over here, quickly, please, we want to
okay.
get on,
so
get
I just
these folks
want,
to lunch.
Yeah, I just want to ask if you use inter-procedural analysis, because you, sometimes you may read this configuration variable somewhere and use it elsewhere.
So we do like using inter-procedural analysis
okay.
in the static analysis part.
So is it complete or some?
I think if we define complete, like we can like track all the like data flow passes for the configuration values, then we are complete. We try to, you know, extract all the code that is using the configuration values.
Okay, good, thank you.